Hey, what's up, guys? This is TJP, otherwise known as TJ Perkins, otherwise known as the Cruiser Great, otherwise known as the Phil and Flash, and you guys are listening to Get Your Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Crystal, the queen of Philippine wrestling, and I'm here with Get Your Podcast.
Hey, y'all. This is Zayzang at Get Your Podcast.
You know, I guess that you would be the only one who would dare to come here. You've got courage.
Yo, 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 the Get Your Podcast is in the building. You got your homie, Juss. And I didn't come alone. I brought with me a good friend of mine, Katie from the She Elite. What's going on, girl? You are kind of being the co-host right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm used to being a co-host. It's okay.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Six woman of the year, six man of the year, you know? And then, you know, I had to bring in a good friend of the show, a longtime guy that I've been, like, looking up to for a long time on wrestling Twitter, my man, Mr. Warren Hayes.
Yeah, thank you, Justin, so much for having me, because, I mean, it has been an eternity that we've been just trying to cook something together.
And yeah.
Just talking about it before we started up, you know, we even met each other face-to-face.
Face-to-face.
Before we ever did anything podcast related. So I'm finally glad this is working out. Yeah. And I couldn't have picked a better moment to come on your show. This is going to be great.
Man, that was so touching. I think we just end the show right here, guys. That's it. I can't. My tear
shortest
ducks.
Podcast ever.
My tear ducks. But yeah, what's it called? Guys, I mean, there's been a lot of things that's been happening in wrestling in the past 24 hours. But yeah. Before we talk about that, I want to talk about this hot ass weather that we're having here in Chicago. It's August. It's supposed to be 70, 60 perhaps. You know, it's supposed to be that time when you're looking at your hoodie stash and you're thinking, what fall color am I going to wear today? Perhaps the taupe, perhaps the squash color, perhaps the cream, maybe the bone, the light bone. Whoa, pause. You know, I can't stand the hot weather anymore. I want it to be that fall nice weather, the pumpkin lattes. You know what I'm saying? Guys, what do you think? Outfits are better in the fall?
Yes, I was just wondering if Katie wanted to jump in because it is unquestionable. Like we don't even have to, there's no argument here. That there is no better fashion than fall fashion, right? And this, as opposed to summer fashion, which is the worst, because everyone looks like they smell.
Yes,
everyone does.
Yes,
and I see too many parts of people that I do not care to see, and I'm not necessarily talking about the bits, not necessarily that. I'm just that, it's like,
Close nowadays, though. It's getting close.
It's getting, sure, absolutely. I mean, but look, and, I'm old enough to have gone to remember like the late 90s and into the aughts, right? That's a certain era of fashion. But like right now, how you guys will wear, tops without sleeves, right?
Cut-offs.
Or like just a plain old basketball jersey, right?
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily everyone is fit. You know what I mean? So there's certain parts, like under your arm here that get exposed when your shit, dangles all the way down to here that I don't want to see.
Yeah,
I'm not necessarily interested in that, paying for like my zucchini and my broccoli at the checkout counter. And I turn around and I see, that kind of shit flapping around in the AC. Not necessarily interested. I'm not here to body shame. I just don't want to see it.
That's what I'm saying. I hate when the hamburger meat is hanging off the armpit. You know what I'm saying? It's too much.
And the thing is that, again, it's not a question of you should not be wearing that. You can wear whatever you want. That's not the problem. Is that give me the choice to not see it. I will. There are websites I can go to if I want to see those kinds of things. And it'll be on my time, But Holy smoke. No, it's just summer fashion is the worst. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait, like with you, you know, to throw on a nice loose yes. scarf, you know, and go that kind of stuff. I love that. I love it.
Right. Like layering fashion is so like, you know what I'm saying? Flannels. I love flannels. Mm-hmm. You know, different prints. Oh my gosh. I would give to just wear a flannel right now. You know what I'm saying? With some nice denim.
Nothing's stopping you. It's September, just by the way, not August.
I know, but in our area, it's still hot. Like this past weekend and today, it was 80. You know what I'm saying? 80.
It was like 90 here. I don't want to fucking hear it.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh, well, damn. I guess it's hot everywhere.
Yeah. Shit sucks.
Okay, speaking of hot, though, let me ask you a question. Speaking of, like, Warren was talking about, you see too much, right? How high is too high for the Hoochie Daddy shorts?
How high?
Yeah. Because sometimes I feel like just, like, 3 inches above the knee is fine. But now, sometimes you see where, like, you see the whole damn thigh and maybe a little bit of the donut munchkins might be peeking. When they sit down, it's like, yo, you know, it's being cupped.
Honestly, Hoochie Daddy shorts are fine with me, so I have no preference.
For me, it's a question of choice as to whether or not I want to see anything at this particular moment, you know. And it's always a question of context as well. You know, like I said, you know, at the checkout counter, at the McDonald's, you know, at the fucking museum, you know, I'm not, you know, it's like, just give me the opportunity to choose the moment where I should see this kind of stuff. That's all I'm asking.
I got you. Sometimes it's just too much.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Katie?
The beach.
Oh, that's
true. If you go to the beach, then you expect that kind of stuff, right?
You expect all the Hoochie Daddy shorts.
Right. Sure, absolutely, right? I completely agree with that. But if you go like to the dentists, you know, you don't necessarily expect, you know, in the waiting room to have like six people, you know, it's like, hey.
I feel like we're doing a podcast with Pretty Kyle now. It's just thighs exposed.
Yeah, it's like really up there. Yeah, right, shout out. But my gosh, yeah, I mean... That causes pain in your mouth, cavities. But okay, speaking of cavities and speaking of things that are very painful, we had to sit through this all-out post-show media, what is it called? Media scrum. Why can't they just call it a press conference? Why did they have to give some weird like name to it? Just because, or...
Because Tony Khan thinks he's fucking UFC.
He's reinventing, like, terms. So basically, I mean, we all know what happened. CM Punk just basically unleashed whatever he wanted to say and however he felt. Just based on the journalist asking a question on Colt Cabana, right? That's pretty much what started it, right? The question is right now is that, one, why didn't Tony Khan stop him? Right, because it is his company and it is making him look bad, rather, you know, whether you think so or not. I mean, he thinks so or not. And then two, it's like, is it a work, brother?
I have an answer to the first question.
Go ahead, miss.
Why did Tony Khan not stop him? Because Tony Khan is a little bitch and lets his talent walk all over him. It's
okay,
fucking evident. He's a fanboy with daddy's money. He just sat there, cracked out of his mind. Y'all saw the video.
Yeah.
Trying to drink water. Come on. Man looked like he's on the verge of tears half the fucking media scrum. And he just sat there nodding along. And then later in the scrum, when they were asking him questions, he got mad out of literally nowhere.
Yeah.
Like... I like looked back because I was doing other shit, mm-hmm. and I looked back at my screen and his eyes are all popped out and he's like, I'm not fucking Jim Crockett production. Well, whatever the fuck he was saying. I don't even know.
And how, why would you shame Jim Crockett? He had good, he had a good moment in time.
Well, what he was saying, he was comparing what WWE did to Jim Crockett promotions.
Oh, like how they bought him. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
No, but how they counter-programmed.
Right, okay, I know.
Right, you know, like, you know, starting the Royal, you know, airing the Royal Rumble on the same night as StarCast. Yeah,
right.
That's what he was calling out about. Because for some reason, Tony Khan went 1 + 1 = 2 and says, probably not many people have bought my pay-per-view today because WWE ran a show today. I'm like, Tony, the WWE ran a show mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
Take it easy, pal. Relax. I get it. You're annoyed because Trips is, he's got his cell phone out and he's texting all his talent and he's like, hey, what are you doing? You busy? You know, what's going on? Kind of
you
thing.
Up?
Like, I didn't know Triple H sounds like Al Pacino. Now Al Pacino.
So, but I get it. Like, he's probably extremely annoyed at WWE right now. But, you know, I was like, okay, that's a bit of a leap. That's a bit of a leap.
True.
Because look, if we talk business for a second here, you know, the All Out this year is not going to do, and this was. You know, preordained, it was not going to do as good business-wise as it was last year, because last year was CM Punk's return.
Right.
Exactly. His first match since coming back to pro wrestling. It did 209,000 buys, 210, something like that. Like,
something there
was
like that,
no way that All Out this year was going to do it, right?
Yeah.
So he was saying during the scrums, like, oh, I think it'll be around what we did for Double or Nothing this year, which was very good. 155,000 buys.
Yeah.
That's a successful pay-per-view run. So I'm like, oh, well, at 155K, he's got to be happy with that. But he's like, we probably could have done more. Don't think so.
Seems like he just got a main event 5 days before. Probably not.
Right.
Well, I don't know how much. Look, I don't know how much that. Look, I honestly don't know how much that counted. I don't know.
What the first match against Moxley and Punk?
No, I mean how much it mattered.
Oh, that I see.
To the buys, whether or not they had a pay-per-view, whether or not the main event was set 5 days before the
pay-per-view. Oh, I see.
Because look, let's have this discussion when we actually have the amount, you know, when we know how many buys the show had, right?
Right, That's
ultimately what we're going to, how we're going to see whether this was a success or not. Because, you know, because I wonder, and this might give us some clues. Sometimes I wonder how much do you need to build a pay-per-view? If, you know, just sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but sometimes,
right.
How much do you need to build a pay-per-view to get people to buy it? Because what are your pay-per-view buying habits? Do you buy it a week before, a month before, or do you buy it the same day?
I usually buy it, I think, the latest is like a week. It also just depends on when I have the money
for AEW.
Oh well, yeah, sure. That's an excellent point right there.
You talking about for AEW?
Yeah. Well, Peacock, it's like fucking like.
That's right there. Yeah.
But
I usually buy the day 50, of.
$50.
I usually buy the day of. Yeah. A week? Wow, Katie, you're like...
Well, okay. Fucking...
Wow, nice. You love wrestling. And I was like, huh?
I'm just going to buy it.
So Katie, did you buy... So you bought All Out last Sunday, not this... for the previous Sunday. So you were like, God damn it, there's no main event, but I'm still going to buy this fucking shit.
I bought it because I do a podcast. Let's be real. I'll tell you the exact day.
That's a great. That's a great.
I'm pulling up my bank. That's a great answer.
She's hang on. She's pulling out the receipts. I'm okay.
Pulling out my bank statements. Give me a second here.
However, though, something like if I'm going to compare it to,
okay, I bought it September 2nd.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So just a couple of days.
Not very long before.
The 2 days before.
2 days before.
But you know what, though? I will say that I think a lot of people did do what Katie did, because, like, if they're, you know, All Out is kind of a name now, right? You know, if it's you're going way back, if you're going way back, right, if you're going all the way back to like All In, you've seen that those shows in the prior years have been bangers, right? So mm-hmm. you're kind of buying it based on what it's done prior, you know? But, you know, it's probably the people that bought like a week before is probably a small amount of people though, you know?
I'm with your reasoning. I'm completely behind it. It's like, you know, will you, you know, assuming that it's not, that it wouldn't be on Peacock, would you right. not buy WrestleMania kind of thing? You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I would still buy WrestleMania.
Well, that's it. That's my point, is that it's WrestleMania.
Right.
So you're
right.
Like, well, it's WrestleMania. It's the biggest fucking show of the year. Let's go.
Kind right.
of thing, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And yeah, I think there might be that type of, that's why I'm going, oh, okay. There might be that type of mentality in regards to All Out as well.
True. It's
like, well, the past 2 years have been just absolutely phenomenal shows. So mm-hmm. unfortunately we got this one. This
year. I'm saying this one, not as much.
Okay, so back to the whole interview.
Oh, geez, we were talking about the scrum. Yeah, okay.
No, that's it. No, we're doing fine. So talking about the scrum, right?
Yeah.
The thing that it still got to me as a work is what happens after, right? Supposedly there's new security or whatever, right? That Tony Khan hired. And there's like news saying that there was going to be a backstage fight between the Elite, like the Bucks and Kenny, and CM Punk, or and Steel, right? They were supposed to have like some high school West Side Story, Michael Jackson's Beat It type confrontation in the hallway, right? There you go. You get don't watch it because it's on Tuesday. Okay, no, but to me that's the part where it's a work. It's like, oh, let's just add this on too. Like, they're going to fight. Like, come on, man. The Young Bucks are going to really, you know, listen, jump on somebody? Come on now. Let's be
honest. Tough guy Nick Jackson. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of
been proven. They're going to read their children's Punk story? They're going to read their children's fight? Story?
I mean, look at Punk's UFC record. Punk kind of can't fight. Low-key.
He can't fight.
I mean, look at the records here, people. Look at the real records. But. Right. I don't know. The whole thing, like, in the media scrum, because, you know, Tony Khan's out there sitting on his hands, basically.
Right.
When Chris Jericho leaves, he literally whispers to Tony, shit went down, and then he walks off. So there's video of security running out of the media scrum. The thing that gets me about this is the narrative that either Kenny bit Ace Steel or Ace Steel bit Kenny, and the way people are taking this, I love people just keep pulling up a picture of Ace Steel and being like, he looks like a biter, and that's my favorite thing about this. This is all I like have on this. Punk has his side.
Yeah.
The Elite have their side. If punches were thrown either by the Bucks, which I don't really see happening, or Phil, which is kind of up there with possibly, I would like repercussions because Kingston beat the shit out of Sammy Guevara and got suspended.
Right.
So
right,
if
right.
punches were legit thrown, I would like ramifications done. Because 100%. It's only fair. You do the same shit, which you keep everyone fair, as Tony Khan should do. He doesn't. He has favors. You have interim champions for all the people, and people were going to bitch if you didn't do it for Thunder Rosa.
Right.
So you do it.
Exactly.
It's for everyone. You shouldn't have done it in the first place. Now you're another. So if you have a backstage altercation, i.e. Kingston and Guevara, both got business taken care of. Kingston was suspended. Sammy just like kind of wasn't on TV. I don't even think he necessarily got suspended. They kind of just kept him off. If Punk and the Bucks and Kenny and whoever the hell was involved in this scuffle, if there was a scuffle, ramifications, like, let's go. Suspend people. Get the shit rolling. I don't give a fuck if he's your champ. Tough. You throw, be professional. That's it. Like, you can't be punching your coworkers backstage right. and expect nothing to happen.
Right.
That Kingston even knows that. He was like, yeah, I fucked up. My bad. They apologized to each other. But he took it on the chin. He got right. suspended. He wasn't on TV. He was off doing well, indie shows.
And that's real. Because Eddie Kingston's the man. I mean, because there's... Yeah.
True.
You know.
Look at your shirt.
We're all lesser people in regards to Eddie Kingston. He is.
I love Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. And I believe, like, when he does something like that, it's legit. I bought this
stupid-ass shirt that I can't
wear
anywhere.
You really did. You did.
That I can't wear anywhere. Where do I wear this? You know, I was telling Kristen, can I wear this to my wedding? To our wedding, Kristen?
No.
Where to the I don't know where to wear it.
Go for a walk.
Definitely not church. Definitely not church.
Not church is perfect. Look at the writing. Nobody can read it.
But you'll just be in the back and everyone looks like, oh.
Yeah. Oh. And everyone sort of whispers to each other, it's okay. He likes wrestling. It's fine.
Shh. It's okay. He's a biter.
Like, how funny would that be? You go get the communion. No one sees you at the front of your shirt. As soon as you turn around, everyone's who's these, like,
you know? Just peacocking your way back.
Just like, sir, the song is over. The song is over. They haven't like started again.
Jesus Christ.
No, but like, yeah, I mean, Eddie Kingston, that's a real guy. I if he got into a fight and he did something, I'm pretty sure it happened. But this recess fight, I don't believe. I don't believe too much.
As Alexa Bliss once told us, let's let it play out. my bullshit senses are tingling, but I also have a lot of like you all, because I see the signs. I see Tony Khan, who, because we always see him through the pro wrestling lens, but this is also a guy who is, you know, who manages a soccer team in Europe. And, true, you know, he's true, like, true. You know, if I, you know, we're all, you know, because Katie says, yeah, he's a bitch with his daddy's money, but it goes beyond that. It's he's a millionaire. He is a high level executive businessman.
Right.
If any of his people were going off like that on a presser, I'm sure he would rein them in.
Exactly.
Which kind of makes me think that this is a fair, because look, honestly, there's wrestler egos, but I'm pretty sure that European football players have pretty delicious egos themselves. Okay.
1,000%.
So I'm pretty sure that that he's pretty used to dealing with people who think they're hot shit, regardless of, you know, how he presents himself. And he presents himself as a fan to the audience because that's how AEW has always, that's how it came up, right? With these wrestlers saying, you know, we're providing an alternative to the Fed. We're listening to the fans. And by the way, the guy who's going to, you know, be the cash in this, who's going to be the bank, by the way, he used to hang out on message boards in the aughts. He'd go to Ring of Honor, right? He was involved in tape trading. He's one of us, right? So this is all public persona to me, you know, and I think it's great. You know, look, there's times where you're like, Tony, you know, get off of Twitter, delete the app. But please. I think most of the time what he does is very deliberate, because he knows, I think he understands how wrestling fans are, because he is one. And I think he does this deliberately. So when he's hugging Claudio, I'm like, of course he's going to hug Claudio. We'd all fucking hug Claudio. You know what I mean? It's like, it's, you know, it's like, and people are like, yeah, but this all works into the overall narrative of what AEW is. And it's, you know, it's, we started this, it's a grassroots thing. We're connected to the fans. This is what we do. Now I'm going off track here, but you know, I everything smells like a work. I'm with Katie here. You know, the fact that Jericho was like, I'm like, oh, come on. You know, it's like, there's too many things now. and the fight. Yeah. But when it just so happens that it's the Elite who are right. there. Like, he's talking about the EVPs, but
right.
and they're not dropping the name the Elite, because if they said the Elite, then it would sound like a work. Right.
Yeah, so exactly. they're using yeah.
Right? right. So there's a lot of breadcrumbs here where I'm like, you want to bet we're going to get a Blood and Guts at Full Gear between Team CM Punk with FTR and Ace Steel making a comeback, maybe. But I mean, look, now this is tinfoil Warren Hayes right now. Because the thing that I'm having difficulties bringing about, you know, is them playing the media like that.
Yeah, exactly.
I can guarantee, because I know, because of people I know, friends right. who work in media, they will be mad.
Yeah.
If they were worked, they will not be pleased. And that breaks a relationship of trust between right. AEW and the media. Why? See, the question is, why, you know, we always hear this, why does the media always softball AEW and Tony Khan during these? It's not necessarily that they're softballing, is that they feel that the answers that they're getting are sufficient, right? Because right. it's like, AEW has never given us any reason to doubt them, kind of thing, right? True, it's an accumulation of goodwill. Now, if they start expending that goodwill by doing this kind of nonsense, then you can be very sure that they're going to start drilling Tony Khan with some real deal questions, right?
Right.
I'm convinced. Like, I am sure that there's something going on. I don't know if it's a work, and I'm skeptical as of yet, because I think it's going to have... because the media will have to say we're mad. Otherwise, they will come across as being complicit, as being part of the work, if it is a work. And that's going to be terrible for them. Guys like Sean, Nick, Mike Johnson, you know, who are at these events,
yeah.
Brian Alvarez, and who are always struggling, you know, to get some kind of, to maintain credibility. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In the audience. If there is a perception that they were part of the work, that's the death knell for them. So they will come forward and say, Tony, this sucks. You should not have done this. We're mad.
Right.
They are. They really, really are.
Well, that's kind of like, what was the name of the journalist that asked the question?
Was Nick Hoffman.
So
But he didn't ask the question. He didn't ask it.
Oh, who asked it?
Nobody
he
did.
He didn't get the chance to ask a question.
Basically, look, Nick Hossman has been around for a while, and he's a Chicago native as well. Okay.
Yeah, he's a Chicago native.
So at some point, you know, all these people mix and match,
and you know.
And Nick calls, I don't know if he still does, but he used to call for Warrior. He did play by play for Warrior.
I remember, he's
involved, right? So CM Punk asks him, he says, Do you still do improv? He asks Nick the question, because Nick did improv. He's from Chicago. Everyone in Chicago does fucking improv.
Yeah. Second City, shout out.
There you go. So he says, he asks him, he says, you know, do you still do improv? And he says, no, I don't. When's the last time you did improv? And who'd you do improv with? Scott Colton. Oh, let's talk about Scott Colton.
Yeah. Okay.
CM Punk was. He was fired up Punk to talk about Colt. Yeah. Which 100%. Is another breadcrumb towards this.
So now that you brought that up, because I think I missed that whole part. I thought it was just somebody asked a question. But now that you brought that up, it's 100%, I think, a work. I'm pretty sure now, because that is an improv thing. It's an improv type of... It's an improv exercise, where you sort of bounce.
But then again, CM Punk went on a monologue and he never threw it back to. He never did
That's
a
true.
Yes.
He never gave him
said,
back.
Yes.
Yeah, he never did the yes and. He just did yes.
He just hung on to it with any monologue. But this is the thing, though, that this is my main thing. This is the main thing where I'm like, I don't know if this is a work. This is the main thing that's keeping me from going all in. is why would they bring up anything regarding Colt Cabana into this story when it is a legitimate issue, legitimate legal personal issue between both of these guys that's still ongoing, that is not resolved? Why would they bring that up for any basis? Like, I know it's wrestling and it's weird, you know, wrestling is weird. It builds feuds off of anything, you know,
but
this is so personal and I mean, there's litigation involved. You don't want to start. And then he starts talking about
Colt Cabana's mom was on the account. His mom.
I mean, you know,
he really brought up, what's her name, Martha. I was like, oh fuck,
not Martha. Come on,
not Martha.
Well, at least then, if Colt's mother's name is Martha, then he's going to get along with Batman and Superman.
Oh my god,
sir. Sir. I mean, you can't say that.
That's the safe word for them. You know what I'm saying?
Batman for Superman. That's a safe word.
You know what I'm saying? Oh my gosh. Well, the only thing I compare this to, right? Because I got some time to think about it after a while, was like the Bike This segment with Edge and with Lita and Matt Hardy. Remember when WWE used to have that Bike This, like it was like the same thing, like someone brought up the whole, like, you know, Matt Hardy, Lita, Ed situation on that show, and this is somewhat similar, right? What if this builds a feud with Punk and Colt Cabana?
The difference here is that at some point, if it wasn't such a legal issue,
I see.
And this could still explode. Like, there still could be ramifications here. There still could be problems. Like, of course, CM Punk is not going to say, I tossed Colt Cabana down to Ring of Honor because I asked Tony and I said, Tony, if you don't do it, I'm leaving and I'm your biggest draw. And Tony said, yes, it's a problem. And these two already have outstanding issues. So you're just compounding it and it's just making things worse, right?
Gotcha.
And
like
there's no good in all of this. So as opposed to Lita, Edge, and Matt, who probably had there's probably very, very hard feelings,
right?
But they probably had to sit down with Vince, and Vince was like, are you guys professional enough to do, you know, to make some business and let's make some money with this? And they were probably like, yeah. And Matt was probably like, yeah, you fuckers stomped on my heart. The least that could happen is for me to make a little money out of this, for sure.
Totally fair.
True.
I think it's two different things.
Okay. It's legal and then sex. It's like the word really, you know.
It's, yeah, legal and moral.
Exactly. It's a clusterfuck.
It's a clusterfuck.
Either way.
Speaking of clusterfuck, though, we got to talk about All Out.
Yes, okay.
We got to talk about All Out. That I think was like 4 or 5 hours long, if you include the buy-in, right? Because I remember...
Yeah, it started at 7 Eastern, finished at midnight for me. Yeah.
So which I was so surprised I wasn't here until 1 o'clock. I was happy.
Well, I remember at 10 o'clock... It said that there's still matches up and coming. And I'm like, what the hell? There's 2 matches still? Like, but yeah, the clusterfuck of All Out. I gotta say, we gotta start off with the winners and losers of All Out here. We're gonna start off with the winners. Are there any winners in All Out? Let me see. Okay, go ahead, Katie.
Even though they didn't win the match, the Acclaimed have arrived. The Acclaimed are so over. Also, the fact that somebody asked Tony Khan if he should have called an audible during the media scrum, iconic. they literally asked him in front of Swerve and Lee.
Yeah.
You heard how you over audible. The crowd was with the Acclaimed. Should you have called an audible? I was like, right. You don't do that in front of other people.
Right.
I mean, he should have, but what the fuck?
Right.
You don't do that. But... The Acclaimed, like, the match was a lot better than I was expecting, because this was something where, I love the Acclaimed. Swerve and Lee are great, too. I think they'd be better single stars.
100%,
tag team, they're fine. They're champs for a reason. But everything with the Acclaimed has just been so organic. Max Caster's rapping, kind of getting a little scandalous here and there. Scissor Me Daddy ass becoming an entity on its own.
It's a t-shirt. It's a t-shirt now.
It's legitimately a fucking t-shirt.
And who wears that? And then where?
Honestly, I would buy it to sleep in it. I would buy it just as like a sleep shirt.
Well, honestly, there's a section in Chicago called Boys Town.
Why not?
There's a section called Boys Town in Chicago. So I think that's one place that, you know, your shirt redeemed these nuts. And Scissor Me Ass Daddy would be okay, you know.
Yeah, I know what he's trying to say.
Yeah. What happened?
Fuck. But the Acclaimed are probably the biggest winners. Justin, your internet's terrible. Christ.
How are we right now?
This is...
carry it.
This is every time.
While the internet gets sorted out, I will agree with Katie. I think the Acclaimed are the winners of the entire pay-per-view. I don't think look, I'm on record. I've said, you know, the Acclaimed is not my favorite act in AEW. But even I see the value in how they've developed. And my own prediction, I was convinced that they were going to win regardless. I was sure because these are guys who came in as prelim dudes. And, you know, the Joker tag team, right? Where it's like no one takes them seriously. They job out all the time. They were there throughout the pandemic, of course, you know, despite the injury from
Bowens.
From Bowens, right? But they were there the entire way. Tony Khan would tell them, boys, go do this, put these guys over. They put them over like crazy. Like, you know, they did everything their boss told them to do and then some. Because I don't think even Tony Khan knew how over the thing with the gun club would get. And it got super over. It got them super over. And yeah, at some point, I'm sitting there watching the match and I'm like, I don't care what the plan is. Someone has to tell the ref to tell the guys the Acclaimed are going over.
Right.
Because at that point in the pay-per-view, that audience needed a win. They needed something to light a fire under their asses. Because I think both teams reacted fantastically. I think Swerve healed it up a little more than what was expected. Mm-hmm. I think he leaned into it because he's a smart guy. He knows how pro wrestling goes. He sees the audience is on the other side. It's like, fine, let's be some shit heels for a while. You know, it's like, that's why people are like, oh, are they turning heel? No, they're reacting to the audience. This is what a wrestler's supposed to do.
Right.
Let them do their thing. It's fine.
It's fine.
So the entire match was just a beautiful, like, organic thing that happened where it's just like the people are behind these guys. I promise you, I was convinced they were winning. And I'm with whoever asked the question. The audible should have been called. Tony should have said, we're switching this around. I'll figure out what to do next. Mm-hmm. Especially with Keith Lee and Swerve. See, even Keith Lee and Swerve kicking and pouncing each other. You had the story after the match to generate a split if you wanted. If they lost the titles, you had everything. All the elements were in place. I think it was a poor decision to have them lose, especially at that moment in the pay-per-view where the audience is. And they were getting back up for it. Everyone was hyped for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Max Caster and Anthony Bowens they're special. They're special. And again, the act does nothing for me, but I can see. No, but it's true. It does nothing for me because I've seen it all before. But they do it well. The audience is over. They got themselves like crazy, and ultimately that's all that matters. Good for them. They should be rewarded.
Yeah, they're like the modern day New Age Outlaws.
Basically,
yep. with a little John Cena twist.
Exactly. with a little sprinkle of Cena.
But a lot of Anthony Bowens. God damn that boy.
Oh, he's fantastic. Good.
Love he's good. Anthony Bowens.
Anthony Bowens is he's good, and he's a good human on top of that.
Yes. See, more gets it.
100%. But I will say, though, like, I do agree. Like, they should have won, because I don't know if they're going to have a moment like this again in another show. That's the thing, you know? Like, I don't know if they're going to have, like, a crowd behind them like
they're
that, like they did. That's the problem. What they're going to do is they're going to try to get that again, and they're not going to, like, able to, like, replicate that ever. So shame on your name, Tony. What's another loser? Now, what's another loser? Where are we? Winners. Winners. I hate to say this.
Yeah, winners.
Sorry.
Did we just completely no-sell the fact that you asked for losers and we're like, yeah, the acclaimed rule? No, we're good.
He's trying his best.
Okay.
Sorry.
Blame the internet.
So I had to blow my nose.
Blame the internet, as always.
I had to blow my nose, and then, like, I kind of got lost in where you guys were talking about. I was like, oh, shit, wait, where are we at? But okay, another winners and losers. Fine.
We're talking about winners.
Trios. What did you guys think of the trios match? Mm-hmm. Katie, what did you think?
Listen. I have said from the jump, anyone but the Elite winning.
Uh-huh.
I get it. Tony Khan waited to do this tournament for Kenny. That's a big statement right there, Anthony. Hangman and Dark Order, that was, much like the Acclaimed, that was a perfect moment for them.
Yep.
The history with Hangman and the Elite obviously is very well documented on multiple shows and multiple things. Dark Order's relationship, their love for Hangman Adam Page, which don't we all love a good cowboy?
Come on.
Documented for months. The Dark Order have been busting their ass, especially Silver and Reynolds, who from the jump, I mean, tag team before AEW started, they were the first two people besides Uno and Stu in Dark Order.
Right.
So they've been in Dark Order from the jump. They've been there the entirety of AEW.
They're day oneers.
Yeah.
Literally, you know.
I think this would have been a perfect moment for them. So, yeah, it was predictable that Kenny and the Bucks would win. I'm not super happy about it. Just, I don't like EVPs holding titles, especially for the first time. Cody. but, like, whatever. I just personally think storyline wise it would have been a better moment, especially with how this pay-per-view ended up being. You needed some good moments. And yeah, we didn't get like any.
Sadly, counterpoint, we did get an excellent moment in the Elite winning the titles.
I
love this match. I think it's my match of the night, and as much as I love the main event, because Jon Moxley is probably my favorite wrestler this year and he is pro wrestling, this match was outstanding, and I thought I was so stoked for it, and the stuff that I thought was going to happen, such as John Silver's hot tag where he's just beaten up everywhere, you know, people inside, outside of the ring. I thought that was great.
People not in the match.
Yeah.
You know what? But here's the thing. Here's some little things, I think, Katie, that you can find solace in. I think it was preordained that it was the Elite that were going to win this.
I mean, because definitely.
Because, you know, I'm of the opinion that if you are going to launch a new title, or, you know, come after a tournament or whatever, you're going to relaunch a title or launch a new title, you're going to put them on the people that are your top guys or gals and make them feel important, right? Unlike what they did on Raw 2 weeks ago. Women's tag titles.
Okay? I don't want to talk about it. I was there. It was a terrible moment. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
It's a shit decision from A to Z. Now, this, you know, the feel-good moment of the Dark Order being able to win would have been just outstanding, right? It would have been fantastic. And I think when I knew the moment they were not winning, you know, when Silver tried to do the Brody Lee discus lariat and couldn't, man. I was like, okay, that's it. They're not going to do it. Yeah. Because the day they do hit a move in homage to Brody Lee, that's when they're going to win. That's the thing that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so, but another little element here that I think we need to find solace in here. John Silver avoided the one-winged angel. He didn't kick out of it.
True.
He did.
But true. He did something that I have not seen many wrestlers do nonetheless, which is roll up fucking Kenny Omega into a schoolboy for the nearest of near falls.
I thought it was three and I lost my mind.
I thought it was three too. I thought and that would have been a glorious, but it's, you know, I understand, don't put them on MVP, so on and so forth. But I thought the Bucks and Kenny gave tons to the guys. Like they gave, yeah, it was a very generous match.
Yeah, I'm not downing the match in any way, shape, or form. Like the match had me on the edge of my seat. I thought either team was going to win multiple times. I don't know. I understand like putting it on top guys. Yeah. I listened to the show you did with Matt, like I understand all the points, and rightfully so. It's just sometimes you just have like the organic stars that you kind of created with Dark Order. Well, Hangman has been over for a while, but like Silver had probably one of the biggest pops of the night.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, counterpoint. I think the Dark Order right now is in an identity crisis.
Yes.
And I think it's purposeful. And I think, you know, I like the journey quite a bit, you know, and mm-hmm. when AEW has not always been successful when it comes to their short-term booking in multiple situations, mm-hmm. I think when it comes to longer form storytelling, I think that's where they excel. Now, is what they're doing with Dark Order, specifically Silver and Reynolds, long-term storytelling, where eventually they're going to win the big one, right? Yeah. They're going to get the titles off of someone, so on and so forth. Maybe we're only going to know when we get to that destination, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But even in the context of the Dark Order, and as you said, you know, organic stars that John Silver and Alex Reynolds built themselves on BTE. Let's not kid ourselves. They built themselves there. I'm in complete agreement with that, right? But by some weird charisma that these dudes have, and we can put a lot on Silver, they're still over. People still love them, despite the fact that they're perennial losers, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. People still want them to win, and that I'm convinced that's going to be paid off.
True.
It better, or I'm going to fist fight Tony Khan.
Well, I think the fact that nobody...
You're having quite a list now of reasons to fist fight Tony.
I mean, the list has been there for like 3 years.
You're just adding on and adding on. No, but I think to what you're all saying, like the fact that people still want to see Dark Order is a good thing, you know, and that people care about the Dark Order. So, you know, they're doing something, which is also better than nothing. Mm-hmm. MJF is a winner for me. It's a winner for me. What's a loser is the music. Sure. Is the music. Like they didn't think of editing the music to the point where like it just said the devil part. We didn't have to go through this 4-minute intro to get there. I mean, like, there was just like a part where like they're just all kind of waiting in the Casino Royale. Like, is he gonna walk here? What's gonna happen? You know, So that.
Oh, okay, okay.
It's yeah. Okay. Sympathy for the Devil does have a very long fucking intro. Yes. I hate the Stones. Just side point.
Wow, stone shaming. What? Why?
I don't know. I'm just not a fan of their music. My mom isn't either, so I think I get that mainly from her.
Oh, okay,
but
okay. Makes sense.
MJF definitely a winner. I'm 26. I'm not a kid. It's the mask was cool. You could tell by the mannerisms that was Maxwell, that rat bastard we all.
Why did he wipe his feet? That was like a dead giveaway, wasn't it?
When he wiped his feet, you have to wipe your feet before you get ring.
He did it was like honest MJF.
It's the way he walked down. It's this thing, and you could tell it was Max. Small guy, relatively small, like you could tell.
Right.
The mask was a good idea. I really was just like, oh, these motherfuckers are gonna make us wait until Wednesday. Just kidding. We only had to wait 3 more hours. But probably like 4 at that point.
Right,
but,
right.
Him being kind of like the main catalyst of Stokely's ragtag group of white men and Lee Moriarty, as I have been calling it. Because Lee Moriarty, Ethan Page, the Ass Boys, Morrissey, and Maxwell, crazy. He brought Morrissey in as a hired gun. It kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Stokely is just incredible. So I give all love to Stokely. But he was more over than Punk was in Chicago.
Yes.
Basically.
1,000%.
He became a babyface in that moment as soon as they did the voicemail thing.
Oh my God.
That's
a loser for me too. You know what I'm saying? Like the voicemail.
The Devil. I liked that.
You did?
I like the voicemail.
You like the
voicemail. Max's whole thing has been
Tiger Woods Tony vibes from that.
Fucking Mark on TV.
Yeah.
Hasn't been seen since. Tony Khan's basically pleading this man and a voicemail being like,
okay,
Max, please,
I'll give you beep amount of money.
You don't have to sign an extension.
This is why I think that's why I think Tony Khan's persona, where everyone think, oh, he's just a mark, he plays into it.
He does play into it for sure.
But sometimes maybe a little too much. But like the whole thing with MJF's feud with Punk has been referencing the Devil. The greatest trick the Devil ever pulled was
making people believe he didn't exist.
Right.
Thank you. I couldn't remember the last part, but like Punk said it in ROH.
Right.
Max said it as like one of the last things in their feud. Sympathy for the Devil being the music choice that they had to shill out so much money for. It all makes sense and it all accumulates very well. I just can't wait to see Maxwell dethrone Phil, because boy, oh boy, what a time we're going to live in.
Yeah.
Max is your world champion. Something I never thought I would have been happy to see 2 years ago.
Well, that should have happened a while ago, in my opinion. It needs to happen soon, you know?
It will.
Yeah.
Probably a grand slam because it's in New York.
And you know what?
Okay.
And here's, look, if we want to put, should we put our tinfoil hats back on again?
Just
for a quick second.
Go for it.
Let's say we're going down this road that this whole CM Phil thing is a work. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just say. And we're going towards a blood and guts match at Full Gear between Team Punk and Team Elite. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Let's just say.
Yeah.
You got to get the world title out of there, right?
Yeah.
Because then you have MJF versus anyone else. His first big defense that has nothing, but it has, can't have anything to do with.
Oh yeah, Paige would be involved in all that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
That's smart.
I think it all connects. I think there's points to be made here. And honestly, there is no way MJF is losing his next match against CM.
No,
that's just not happening.
No shot.
No,
I have a winner, and I have another winner.
Go for it.
Do you?
I do. Jamie Hayter.
Yes.
Big, hell
big time, big time reaction for Jamie in that match. She was most likely the most over woman in that crowd.
Oh yeah,
and you love to see it. I think it was fantastic, and it's just proof that the AEW fans are ready to get behind good solid workers. And I'm not saying that. Former champions have been poor workers. That's not what I'm going for. Mm-mm. But maybe this is how Tony needs to revisit his division. Because as opposed to WWE fans, I think AEW fans are a little more work rate inclined than WWE fans. I think AEW fans like... you know, they appreciate more someone who can work well, because otherwise there would be no reason for someone like Anna Jay to not be super over right now. If we were just going on, you know, what they've been trying to do with her and so on and so forth. I think Anna's improved, but she's not there right now. Jade Cargill is always a point of contention amongst AEW fans because she's super over, but she's super green. Like there's always that asterisk, right? But when we start talking about, you know, the top workers in the company and so on and so forth, it's, you know, the top people in the company, these are all people who can work. These are all people who can work a wrestling match big time. And I think it's something that needs to be trickled down into the women's division, because when you get a really strong worker like Jamie Hayter in a match, people notice it. They go, let's go with her, even if she's not the top promo in the company. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And they probably should have called an audible for that too. I mean, although I wanted Tony Storm to win, but when the match happened, Jamie was just, she was just doing her thing. You know, she definitely was more of a breakout performer than the rest of them. You know, I don't know what caused her, what happened, but just something about it, just like, it should have been her to win. But, you know, I understand maybe they wanted Tony to win for some reason, but.
Send her after Jade now. That's what I'd do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean...
Stick her on Jade.
Tony was... If this was originally just going to be Rosa versus Tony, Tony was going to win, regardless.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tony was destined to win it all out. Jamie was the first name she said in the scrum when someone was like, oh, who are some women you want to fight? She said, like, Jamie Hayter and named, like, two other people and then, like, forgot the rest of the women's division, basically. She literally couldn't name anybody.
It was
a little disappointing, but Tony winning makes the most sense. She is probably, with her and Sheeta, they're probably tied in that ring for longest career, if I were to guess.
I think so.
Because Britt hasn't been doing it very long.
Britt's been along for a while, but she's been around for a while though, but
not as long as
Tony.
The other ones, I don't think.
Hikaru Shida. They've been doing it for, like, what, 15 years?
I mean, Britt's been at this since 2015. So
yeah, like, 2015. You know. I knew it was, like, 2014, 2015.
And Jamie Hayter, I think you'd be surprised.
Well, Tony was even saying that, like, her and Jamie had, like, wrestled all over the world, basically. And I was, and well, that's shocking.
They were both in Stardom.
Makes sense.
See, 2015 for Jamie as well. And that sounds about right for Tony, too. Yeah.
Okay.
We're all about the same.
So they're all about the same time. Damn.
Okay. This was another thing where I was like, anybody but Britt. And I love Britt. DMD, Britsburg, close to my heart. But you need to have time to focus on other women and give them a chance to build a character. Give them time to focus on everything. Because for the longest time, you had whoever was champ and then Britt doing all of her character work when she was hurt. That's how she got the most over, was because her promo work when she fucked up her leg and then broke her nose. That's when she got a chance to shine and like be on the mic more. That you need to do with your other women. You can't just have one person and then everyone else is just like, okay, we're here too.
They even tried giving her own like talk segment. Remember, like the dentist office thing. You remember that? Like a long time ago, they tried to do that too. Like
two episodes.
Right, right.
That was the thing. But I like putting it on. I like Tony being champ, and that way you're putting it on another person. And plus, I don't really like double champions already when you're only 3 years old.
However, this is intro, though. This is intro. Right? Stop. This is intro, right? Right? Just to be clear.
No, no, stop it. John Moxley even said he fucking hates interim. You're the champion. You're holding the company on your back as world champion of selective.
Yeah. Whatever. But see, unfortunately, they have to do it for the women because they did it for the men too, though.
Exactly. You know? And that's so fucking stupid. They shouldn't have done it in the first place. And, yeah, they COVID. COVID. He was gone for a week. Right. And he said, okay, we need a champion for Battle of the Belts. Sammy Guevara. What the fuck? Are you kidding me?
Well, maybe. When that first happened, sorry to interrupt you, but I think when that first happened, it was a whole contact situation. You know what I'm saying?
It was definitely because Cody was like,
no, you know, they didn't want to do a cross contamination of the belt. So, like, let's just make another belt.
No.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Because at that time, they said the COVID lives on the surface for about like 7 to 10 days. So they weren't sure.
Yes.
Clorox bleach was low at that time. So, you know.
Can't find any Lysol in
Just, I love you, but fuck off. The interim thing has pissed me off from the jump. If you're injured, you can't compete. You relinquish your title. That's how it should have been. The whole Cody COVID TNT belt, that started this whole clusterfuck.
True.
Sure. I'm just gonna blame Sammy Guevara for all of it.
I mean, he's a target, you know.
I mean, I saw somebody tweet, if there was any type of fight backstage, I would find a reason to punch Sammy Guevara. And honestly, can you blame them?
No, you know. I mean, he's a punchable guy. He's a punchable guy, you know.
Exactly.
How long does COVID last on a surface?
You know what? To be honest, I made that up. I have no idea. I think want to say because
the next thing I'm wondering is how long did whatever Sammy and Ty did live on the surface of the belt?
Yeah, come on now. Talking about COVID, there was on that belt.
COVID suddenly doesn't seem so bad.
Dan Lambert was kissing.
Why is there dry marshmallow on the? Oh, never mind. Okay.
Oh, this ain't smacking it wrong. What is this?
Mark Henry, can you just grab this?
Stop it! Oh God.
But yeah, I mean, okay, we got to talk about the casino. I know we kind of a little bit of it, but I have to say, a winner for me is Andrade doing that sunset power bomb into the setup ladder. I thought that was great. Unfortunately, that's the only pop that Andrade will probably get for a while. That's the, you know, Wheeler Yuta and Rey Fénix starting off that match. You know, I thought that was really good. You know, that's definitely a winner for me.
Oh, yeah.
The main event. Does that, any, do you want to start?
Main event was extraordinary. I love the main event from start to finish. That was absolutely my speed.
Okay.
Loved every second of it.
Okay.
You can't get more pro wrestling than what we saw than what we saw there. Just like two guys. Look, say what you want about CM Punk. Hell of a storyteller.
Yeah.
Hell of a storyteller.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And he's in there with Jon Moxley, who was right up there as well. So right. You got both of them. They know exactly what they have to do. They know what kind of story they have to tell. I thought it was brilliant. Just a brilliant piece of work by both of those guys. Just slightly outshined by the trios match, I find. But nonetheless, like, you know, you're asking me to pick between my two favorite flavors of ice cream at this point. You know, it's like it's just great stuff. I enjoyed the main event tremendously.
Right.
Tremendously.
I was so surprised Mox wasn't one the bleed.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, Mox isn't bleeding? Is he okay? I said the same thing about Regal going on commentary. He didn't immediately flirt with Excalibur, and I was like, is Regal feeling okay?
I think by that point, everyone just was in a mood because right. of the pay-per-view. I think everyone was like,
I don't blame them.
It's like 10:45 p.m. at that point. You know what I'm saying? They're like, okay, you know, the main event's about to start. Let's try to, you know, reset. At some point,
That's always, my favorite part is Regal flirting with Excalibur.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, at some point when you're looking at somebody for a long time, they just they become attractive, you know.
I mean, even with a mask. Go ahead, Excalibur.
The fabric is so nice. Let me rub that on my.
Hey.
Pause. No, but I agree. I did like the main event. This was like way better than their match on Dynamite. Way better.
I would fucking hope so.
The bar is here, Justin.
The bar is on the ground.
Jesus.
Listen, I'm watching this show and I'm thinking like, man, the Casino Royale was pretty dope. You know what I'm saying? The tag team match is dope. The trios match is dope. I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to have in here in this main event? You know what I'm saying? It's already like so late, you know? And then they put out this like, you know, kind of old school, you know, wrestling match. It was great. I thought it was great.
I thought it was stellar. Like, this is how you know you're dealing with world-class talent and when you're dealing with scrubs, right?
Right
here, you had two guys who, what, you know, whatever they think about each other backstage, I don't know. I kind of feel like Mox sort of keeps to himself and he's like,
yeah, see,
y'all bicker amongst yourselves. I just want to go out and make money kind of thing and beat the shit out of people. That's all
pretty Mox much. Doing.
And bleed when necessary, which is pretty much always. Maybe Renee was like, John, no bleeding tonight.
But like, honey, no. She's like, you're losing too much every week. Take it easy. Yes.
If anyone's going to bleed, it's going to be me, John. Okay, anyway.
So essentially you get two guys who just, and they're not dummies either. They're seeing how the pay-per-view is going on. You know, they're seeing everyone's probably got boo-boo face backstage. They're like, all right, let's send the people home happy. Let's give them something. Let's give them something to remember. Right. Just an excellent, excellent main event. Hard to find fault with it. Perfect story. They had to tell the story with the foot. What did John Moxley do? He went for the foot, and Jesus Christ, did he go for the foot? You know, and CM Punk, Heart of Chicago. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm doing this for the people, for the workers, for the firemen, for the subway workers, whatever he was saying. Well, there you go. He had to dig fucking deep because he didn't want to leave his people down. Just it's basic. You know what? Basic storytelling, but it works. And sometimes you don't have to over fucking think things like, you know, at the main event, the Clash of the Castle, you know, where it's like, that's too much. Just keep it simple.
Well, when like four people were part of the storyline?
And then, you know, it's stuff happening at the end. You're like, why is all of this going on?
Why are we singing? Why are we doing a karaoke session?
Oh, well, then on top of that.
That took such a turn.
I was really excited for MJF and CM Punk to start singing Islands in the Stream.
That was probably my favorite thing that came out of like Clash, is everyone was being like, oh, I can't wait for the end of All Out for someone to just start singing insert random song here.
I feel like they should have said, Don't Stop Believing would probably been the song.
That would have been really
good. That would have been, you know. Come on, everybody. No, don't stop believe.
All right.
Hold on to the feet. Okay. But okay. So the thing that happens at the end when MGF, we talked about it a little bit. Of course, that's a winner, right? Coming on the devil mask and all that stuff.
Just MGF returning is a win.
Right. Period. MGF returning of the win. It's a great moment. You know, so I'm saying, like, well, what happens now? What happens on Wednesday?
Max is going to talk. So we're going to get a promo from Mr. Maxwell talking about whatever. And they're in Buffalo, so they're in New York, so he'll get a nice warm welcome in some capacity. He'll probably talk about how he's gonna beat CM Punk whenever he wants to, because he has that poker chip, so he has a match whenever he wants. Basically, it's basically a Money in the Bank without being a Money in the Bank. Like, you can't just randomly cash it in during a match.
Yeah,
you have to kind of plan a match. We're probably gonna get that match at Grand Slam, which is in like 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks. Yep.
I thought it was still like end of September ish. Max becomes champ. Phil takes his ball and goes home.
Oh, you don't think probably. He sticks around? You don't think he sticks around?
Probably not. Probably takes a few months off. Probably
to heal the foot.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I think Max wins it at Grand Slam because you have to have something else big happen at Grand Slam. This is your second year in a row doing it. Tony teased the tag titles also doing a rematch.
Oh. Okay.
At Grand Slam. I don't know how true that will be.
Well, on top of that, I'm just pulling up some numbers here. Making sure everything's makes sense. A couple of weeks ago is the last, looks like the last update we got for Arthur Ashe as far as tickets go. 10,000 sold out of a 15,600 setup, which isn't bad.
Okay. You know, okay.
But you still have 5,000 tickets left.
We're good. And good business.
Which is good business. And they probably have room to open up more. You know what I mean? Like Arthur Ashe is what? 18,000, I think. No, hang on. It's more than that. Because they had 18,000 for Serena's match on Friday. So it's probably close to 20,000, I'd say.
Give or take.
You know, just a guess here. So what I'm thinking is that on top of that, like if the tickets have stalled, you need the main event. You need to fill up the arena. There's nothing worse than an arena that doesn't look full. Not arena, a stadium. That looks empty. That's the worst. That's the dirt worst. And they did fantastic business last year. You know, but New Yorkers will go where the hot ticket is.
Yeah.
You know, they're just not going to go because they want to. They're going to go to the hot ticket, you know. Right. So
you said something earlier about you don't need to necessarily build for a show.
For pay-per-view.
I think you definitely need to for Arthur Ashe. So if you announce on Wednesday, Max and Punk, tickets are going to start flying again.
For sure.
I agree.
Once you basically solidify Max is going to have a match in New York, I think that's definitely going to be the threshold to kind of push her over.
I agree.
I do agree. And I do think that maybe if they add a couple more matches, like, I don't know, you know, some Wardlow versus Samoa Joe or something like that, or something bigger. Powerhouse, who won versus Ricky Stark, something like that. You know,
Powerhouse versus Wardlow, big meaty men slapping meat.
Ooh.
We're going to stack the card regardless.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Oh, 100%.
But yeah, I mean, oh my God. We forgot to talk about Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho. What did you guys think about that?
I thought it stunk.
So that's that's a loser of yours.
I'm in 2022 and I'm watching. Probably the greatest wrestler that North America has ever provided in Bryan Danielson versus Chris Jericho, one of the all-time greats. And I'm looking at the mother and I'm like, what the fuck is this match? What is going on? And it's one of the longest matches on the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not like it. I thought it stunk. And I thought they clearly tried.
Yeah,
I mean, I thought it was dead as soon as it started, you know, especially with the whole Lionheart thing. And it's like, you know, you expect Lionheart and you're getting lied to, you know.
Well, here's something that irks me that bothers me, and I've talked about it on my shows. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Jericho, on one hand, he's the sports entertainer, but then he turns around and he's like, oh, I'm the great worker, yep. I'm the Lionheart. You can't play both sides of the fence, buddy. That doesn't how it works.
Right.
You can't do that. I would have been much more, I think it would have served if he had, you know, tricked us into believing he was coming out as the Lionheart, but then starts doing the underhanded shit. Now I get, in ultimately, this is a story to get Daniel Garcia over.
Right.
Ultimately, yeah. This is what it's going to right. be for. But in the 23 odd minutes, and I watched that match, I was like, what is even going on? And honestly, like you guys know, I watched tons of New Japan.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Tons of wrestling. So, you know, I'm into grappling and transitioning in and out of moves and people mm-hmm. doing like this, you know, just great mad game. And at first I'm like, oh, okay, here they go. And I'm looking at Jericho and going, oh shit, look at him go. And then I don't know what happened, and I don't want to throw shade, but did Jericho just run out of gas? And he was like, Daniel, do shit to my body because I gotta rest up. And then Danielson starts going beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep, beep, right.
while Jericho catches his breath. Honestly, this match did nothing, and it was positioned high on the card because it was expected to do uh-huh. something, and it just sucked the air out of a room where the room's air was already sucked out.
Right. And sadly, this is probably Daniel Bryan's worst match on AEW too.
Yes.
And that sucks too.
I wonder why that is. Does anyone want to take a guess?
Former AEW world champion. Okay. But yeah.
I just think, look, you know, I don't want to speculate.
It was a loser for me too.
Is it Jericho who overshot his what he thought he could do?
Yes,
it's plausible.
Yes,
you know, it's plausible. Daniel Bryan, I think, look, whatever he was able to get out of him, he got it. Because, you know, look, did I call him Daniel Bryan? Bryan Danielson?
We all know who it is.
It's the American Dragon Jake Long.
Mr. Bella. We all know
who it is. Mr. Bella.
Mr. Brie Bella. Specify with Bella.
He really did whatever he could do.
Yeah.
And he's legitimately, I sincerely believe he is the greatest North American wrestler to ever do it.
Oh,
1,000%. I really do sincerely believe it. I really, 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 really believe it.
Oh, I'm with you with that. Yeah.
And he just, I don't know, man. It just ran out of steam. It never left first gear. We had a first gear match for 23 minutes is what happened. So I think so. And considering the two guys who were in that ring in that match, I was like, no, it stinks. Sorry, guys. It stinks.
It was bad.
And I am going to grade on a curve. Because maybe I'd be a little more forgiving with two other dudes, but I'm gonna grade on a curve because it's Jericho and Danielson. And you're like, nah, you guys can't.
Yes.
Not in 2022. You can't.
Yes.
Not in this economy. You can't be doing that.
No. Not in this economy.
Not in this fucking economy, no sir.
Not thank when, you, Brandon.
You know.
You crazy. That's what I'll do when I review the show on my when I review the match on my show. I'll have a sticker of Joe Biden pointing to the match as I did this. That's what I'll
do. Oh my god!
You're like I did.
Oh my gosh! Send the baby formula. We need the baby formula.
There you go.
There it is.
Political issues aside, guys, I mean, overall, all out.
Spin.
we're bringing that vernacular.
Hey, I'm an unofficial co-host. I got to do my best.
True. I got you. Yeah.
The real porn about me.
It is my least favorite AEW pay-per-view out of everyone I've seen.
Yes.
It's my least favorite.
I gotta agree, and it sucks too because you know being here in Chicago and being hyped for it with the pass all out and all ins, like it should have been a really really good show. And the thing is, like, I joke and I'm fair. Me and the homies and everybody that's on Get Show, we all joke about WWE, everything in wrestling, right? Because there's always funny in something.
Sure.
But AEW seems to be a lot of the jokes. But the but we always say they end up delivering in the pay-per-view. And this time they did not deliver, which is kind of bad in my opinion, you know, because they always kind of like, you know, turn the corner. Be like, okay, well, you know, we have like a shady month, but our pay-per-views are always banger. And this one was not. So I don't know what they got to do, if they got to look back at the game plan for the next one. But hopefully with your Austin theories, Warren, they do the whole thing with MGF, you know.
Especially with this being their mania, disappointing. I'm not saying every WrestleMania in the past has been a banger, but you usually find,
yeah, there's usually matches,
good chunks of the pay-per-view to enjoy.
Yeah,
like this past year, Stone Cold and like Kevin Owens and like
Corbin,
Pat McAfee, like
the Hardys return. The Hardys return.
That did not happen last year.
Oh, you said she's talking about
last WrestleMania.
You said past Manias.
Okay, my bad. Whatever. But there has been, like, you find the good, something you get excited for, or like SummerSlam, Bayley, Io, Dakota coming back. Great. Something exciting. The ring getting lifted up by a fucking truck. Like, craziness. This, you had, we talked about all the winners. There wasn't a lot. There was like three, and we kind of like pushed the boundary for some of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So next All Out, they might want to step it the fuck up. In a year's time, probably Max is probably still your world champ. Jay is probably your world champ for the women. She could be a double champ. Who fucking knows at this point?
At this point, yeah.
You have 18 more titles. I don't know what's going to happen in a year, but you have every title defended on your pay-per-view. TNT title.
Right.
I don't know. Who the fuck knows what will happen at All Out next year? Maybe they won't even have it in Chicago, and Tony's like, just kidding. I don't want to hear.
How dare they?
That, but.
No, I like, honestly, if I had the money and I was running big shows like that, I would run my biggest show of the year in Chicago because it's such a, it's a travel centric
city. Fantastic city to have a wrestling show.
As you know.
And even just to travel too.
As you both know. As you both know.
You know, I traveled to Chicago for last year. It wasn't even for All Out. It was for the CM Punk's return at the United Center.
Yeah.
Like, it's super easy even from Canada to just drop into O'Hare. O'Hare's
I went like 2 weeks ago. You know, so. For fun.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Well, there you
see, I met
there
Justin.
Yeah. See, there you go.
me and Warren met each other. Me and Warren met each other.
Exactly. at a bar watching an Impact show.
Right. That, right? At Warrior Wrestling, where there was no AC.
And but it was Shotzi's last match before heading up.
Yes. Yes.
There you go. There it is.
She wrestled Kylie Rae and Lainey Luck.
Lainey Luck. Yep.
And it was the match of the night. It was so.
Because then we saw history again at Warrior Wrestling, where Thunder Rosa became the Women Warriors champion. I think history just follows us, just like we're making history right now.
Right now, exactly. I definitely don't want to make excuses, but I feel like the end result of All Out makes a lot of sense considering the turmoil that has been going on in AEW. And I'm not just talking about the past couple of weeks. I'm talking since June with the injuries, ever since all the big names started falling off of Forbidden Door, I'm convinced that it was just turmoil to try and find directions and stories and things to do. And I think that the pressure of the locker room, of managing the company and of doing creative finally got to Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the reasons why he hired Pat Buck, why he brought in guys like Arya Daivari, guys who've done production in WWE, so that he can delegate.
Right.
Like mm-hmm. Sanjay Dutt too. And they've all, you know, Pat Buck and Sanjay have titles, positions in creative now. There's yeah. people that, so I think that's, these are good signs. I think All Out is the product of a summer of turmoil. Let's just call fuckery. It what it is.
Right.
Yeah, fuckery. I really believe that's what it is. I am hopeful that this Wednesday is the reset button that we need, not necessarily on the backstage stuff, because you know what? I love the backstage chaos. I love that shit. That's what I'm here for. I love it so much. It's like 1997 all over again. Let's keep it going.
I was 1 year old.
Oh, see, I was 63.
I was 65 years old.
Let's keep that going. But I hope it's a reset on all these, you know, all the storylines, all the directions, everything that we've come to here. I hope there's a hard direction where everything can just fall into moving forward. I think that the one thing that AEW has done very well since the beginning of its inception was create goodwill from its fan base, promising big things and delivering, promising mm-hmm. returns, big signees, big surprises. And they always, couple of exceptions aside, but they've always delivered, and they have this goodwill. A bad pay-per-view, you can swallow that. It happens. But if it becomes if it becomes the regular, then you're like, that's right. when it starts to grate on people. Then people sort of go like, maybe I won't buy a pay-per-view where I'm not sure the main event is, just because the last one kind of sucked, and the last one before that, and the last one before that.
Right.
And you know, Tony's a smart guy. He knows this, I'm convinced. You know, I'm not, but I'm sure that I'm hopeful. I'm not going to say that, but I'm hopeful that we're going to get a reset, because that's what this company needs right now. It needs a reset on its stories. It needs direction. It needs to feel less scattered. And yes. I think it's up to Tony's creative team to make this happen at this point.
I agree. They're going to probably put the title on Hook.
not sleepy Justin Bieber.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm hopeful too. You know what I'm saying? Because I want all wrestling to do good. You know, not just too, one promotion, same. all wrestling.
Are you kidding me? There's nothing, honestly, there's nothing.
Look at my kid.
Just enjoy wrestling. Exactly.
You know? Moore and I both are like, switching, because we're both blind as fuck. We're like, hello?
I'm 63, Jesus Christ. but for real though, like despite the fact, you know, how it's, you know, maybe whatever you feel about how people are reacting about Triple H coming back, it's great that people are excited about
this. Yeah.
You know, like it's good. It's good that people are optimistic about it. And it's good that people are like, yeah, let's fucking go. Because if the environment for wrestling is rich and it's dynamic and it's exciting, everyone benefits. Just everyone benefits. It's good for everyone.
Exactly.
And specifically for the three of us.
Just
the three of us.
Just us three. Just the girls.
Just us three.
The power of three, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the fact that there's a respectable Impact World Champion, Josh Alexander. I mean, that says something about the state of wrestling right now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of the state of wrestling, I thought...
And now, Sweaty Session.
That in this sweaty session that we come up with a positive poem to the IWC.
Oh, shit. That's right.
Who seems to be
I was
be
like,
very
did you
toxic.
Actually tell Warren this time? Like, did you tell your guest?
Yeah, I told my guest. I told him.
Okay.
And so, like, you know, I feel like this is the right time to do it because of all the shit that's going on, you know, with AEW and some people who aren't happy with the way Clash of Champions ended. Some people aren't happy with Raquel and Aaliyah being the world women's tag team champions.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Some people are confused with some people doing it in toilets and cameras, but...
Oh my God, I don't want to talk about it. I have to talk about it on Thursday. I
feel like
now.
A positive poem to the IWC to stop being toxic is needed, you know?
I agree.
Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I titled it "That's Okay." I was a creative writing minor, so had to have a title.
Flex, flex.
Well, subtle flex. So, dear IWC, you have your opinions, and that's okay. You don't know everything, and that's okay. You have your favorites, and that's okay. You can't stand some wrestlers. And that's okay. You buy merch and you cosplay. That's okay. You make signs for shows. That's okay. You cheer and you boo your heart out. That's okay. You get emotional at times. And that's okay. We are all just wrestling fans, just trying to enjoy wrestling. And that's okay.
Oh, my... Finger snaps. Finger snaps.
Yes, finger snaps. Yes.
Finger snaps. That was great.
What am I doing?
Come on. You're ahead of the game, Warren.
Okay, I can go.
Okay.
Okay. This is also titled Wrestling Twitter. Be nice. IWC, why do you complain? Wrestling has given you everything from sports, drama, athletic moves that are so insane. Mind-blowing primo. Sound effects, even blood and guts. But still, all you keyboard warriors, all you do is bitch and moan, and that's not enough. Listen, it's just half-naked women and men grabbing each other. But you sweaties want to complain about how it's a botched pile driver. Look, amazing things have happened inside and out the ring, but all you want to do is compare to every match that's not a New Japan Meltzer rating. Stop wrestling. Stop. Wrestling is art. It's drama, sports, and entertainment. Wrestling is simply fun, so just enjoy it. Namaste. Namaste. Namaste.
Yeah, very spoken word. I liked it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to do mine. Let's say mine is called Untitled.
Ooh. Perfect. Edgy.
AEW or WWE, there's wrestling as far as the eye can see. Hark, an impact, a nuge, a stardom nearby. Something which surely will catch one's eye. Yet we argue till our points are pointless and moot. Sports or entertainment, work or shoot. Forget all the quarrels and quibbles, I say, and enjoy every lariat, cravat, and sling blade.
Oh my God.
Man said, moot. I'm
oh
done.
My gosh.
I'm weak.
That was great. That was
spent a lot of time.
I wrote mine during the first hour of Monday Night Raw.
That was great.
Good for you.
All you guys did great. Well, this was a fun ass show. I gotta say, we gotta do this again. Yeah. Katie, tell the people where they can find you, Miss Lady.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at KatieWrestling13, the link tree in my bio to take you all things She Elite Showcase, twitch.tv/She Elite Showcase, typically Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern. Next week is the one-year show of She Elite. Jesus, I have really nothing planned yet, so I'm trying to do all of that this week. But I'm very excited for that. YouTube.com/She Elite Showcase. I would say watch the videos because they're way more entertaining. Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, if you'd like to listen. She Leads the Weekly Show, Inside the Mind of, is an interview series I do. Both Jess and Warren have been guests on it. Fantastic episodes. Some of the best. Go check them out. Not to be biased. Not to be biased at all. In the Crowd is a show currently on hiatus until Justin gets the Getchell Boys together and I bring it back. And my co-host Savannah has a show all about New Japan. I don't know shit about it. I just upload the show when she records it.
I don't know shit about it. I don't listen to it. I know it's fine. I listen
for audio purposes, and I clip through the episode. And if I'm like, all sounds good, what's going on?
Go ahead, Mr. Warren Hayes.
I'm Warren Hayes. Hello, I do a podcast as well on pro wrestling. I record it live every Thursday night at youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes at 9 p.m. Eastern is when I do it, and I cover the week in wrestling. If you want to pop in this week, hey, that'd be great, because goddamn, I'm going to be talking about so many things.
Do it.
It's one of these weeks where the work is done for you. We're grateful. But yes, do come check it out. If you want to join us live, that's great. Otherwise, you can watch the video on demand, of course, on youtube.com/Mr. Warren Hayes, or find me in your podcast application. The feed is out there as well. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Hey, I found out I'm on Amazon Music as well.
Hey,
how about that? Yeah, thank you very much. Yes. Yeah, me and Jeff Bezos, we're like this. please do. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter at Mr. Warren Hayes as well.
Oh my gosh. Give them a follow. Give Katie a follow.
Thank you for having me on, Justin. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. We got to do this again. This is great. This is great. Guys, I think this is it. Until next time, y'all. Konnichiwa, bitches.